William Trowbridge, Missouri's third poet laureate, is unafraid to look at the Show Me State and the region straight on, as you'll find out in this reading from the 2014 Midwest Poets Series.
I was driving from Missouri to Nebraska one day and was going through a town called Rockport, and you come up over a crest and suddenly there's the Missouri River Valley, and this part of the place, if you get it when they've already harvested the crops, has this soil that looks like it's all the nutrients have been leached out of it. It looks kind of grim, and then you look over at Rockport and all the houses are white frame and black roofs. And as I was driving, I heard the word bleak. I mean, as if someone had said it. It was kind of over my head. Bleak.
You'll get to hear that poem, American Gothic, and many others from William Trowbridge's book of new and selected poems called Put This On, Please, work described by fellow poet Billy Collins as combining pointed social criticism with just plain verbal fun. So stay with us for New Letters on the Air, a production of the University of Missouri, Kansas City. I'm Angela Elam, and here's New Letters magazine editor and the director of the Midwest Poets Series, Robert Stewart.
It is a disservice to any humorous writer to call him or her humorous, or worse, funny, which we did in our publicity for William Trowbridge's reading. We should have learned something from Mark Twain. Moreover, the person who wrote that publicity stands before you. But now that I have you here, I can get a little deeper into what makes William Trowbridge a seriously great poet. His poems have the entertaining effect that makes a listener or reader almost forget how smart they are. If you buy a copy of his latest book, Put This On, Please, New and Selected Poems, you can see, starting in the early work, historical references to Stalin and Hitler ducks in post-war movie cartoons, mixed with popular culture and personal revelation, all combining at the end to blow up in your face if you aren't alert. He doesn't mind a spoof either, but it's a smart one, such as his take on Gwendolyn Brooks's famous poem, We Real Cool, which Bill reinvented into We Real Old. In the newer poems, Beethoven and Tchaikovsky contend with Chuck Berry, and you realize that you, the reader, can listen or read for the sheer fun of the poems, or more closely, to discover authentic wit, which has made William Trowbridge one of the most admired poets in the country. William Trowbridge tonight celebrates the Kansas City premiere of his new and selected poems as he draws near the completion of his term as Poet Laureate of the State of Missouri. He teaches in the University of Nebraska Low Residency MFA in Writing Program and is a distinguished university professor emeritus at Northwest Missouri State University. A longtime resident of Missouri, he resides now in the idyllic splendor of Lee's Summit. Awards include an Academy of American Poets Prize, a Pushcart Prize, a Breadloaf Scholarship, and fellowships from the McDowell Colony and Yaddo. You will see in his eight books many characters and character types, such as his fool, the star of his previous book, Ship of Fool, always getting into messes. So it is with King Kong in another collection, The Complete Book of Kong, trying to survive and find love as best he can. When the Poet Laureate of the United States, Natasha Trethewey, said, I laughed out loud reading William Trowbridge's collection, Ship of Fool, she hastened to add, as with the best humor, mirth and despair are twinned here. That, I should add, is the trick. Let's welcome William Trowbridge.
Wow, what an introduction. Well, thank you all for being here, and I'd like to thank Bob especially of New Letters Magazine, which I hope you all subscribe to. And really, If everybody could give a hand to Bob, who's run this incredible reading series for 31 years. Wow. All right. I guess I'll start off with a poem that I wrote when I was appointed Poet Laureate of Missouri. And I was asked, not ordered, to write a Missouri poem. And I hesitated at that moment because I thought of all these state poems with, oh, rolling waters, oh, hills of green and all that sort of stuff. And I thought, oh, dear. So I thought, well, I'll maybe just not do it and then they won't notice and I'll get out of it that way. And then one day, something kind of struck me and I thought, I'll give it a shot. You all know that we are known as the Show Me State, which I always thought, couldn't they have a better thing than that? You know, but it's better than New Hampshire's motto on their license plate, which is live free or die. Unofficial Missouri poem. I thought I should call it that. You won't find 76 trombones in this poem. That was Iowa. No orations about rolling rivers or salutes to emerald pastures, stately peaks, or glittering skylines, though we've got our share of each. Not to mention 34 kinds of plastic worm in the world's biggest bait shop, or the train station where Pretty Boy and Company shot it out with the law, or towns like Cooter, Roach, Enough, Licking, Tightwad, and Frankenstein, all fact-checked, by the way, along with Peculiar, so-called because the state said the name had to be that or unique. And the grave of Harry, who fired MacArthur because I wasn't going to let that SOB resign on me. And the license plate with a bluebird you have to tailgate to see. And weather that can wash your house into the next county or sing it to sleep on a soft May night. And where the state rock is something called Mozarkite. And bathtubs with feet resembling animal paws are against the law. And where 15,000 souls throng annually to the town of Nixa for Sucker Day to eat their fill of that tasty bottom feeder. And where the immortal Satchel Paige first bamboozled batters with the hesitation pitch. It's the birthplace of Mark Twain, Jesse James, and the coward Robert Ford, Chuck Berry, Tennessee Williams, Charlie Parker, Josephine Baker, Joseph Pulitzer, Omar Bradley, Bell Starr, T.S. Eliot, Calamity Jane, Willie the Rat Camisano, and J.C. Penney. Add to all that the world's largest pecan, the big shoe made entirely of shoes, the cooking from scratch chicken car, the world's smallest cathedral, the Bonnie and Clyde ambush apartment, the world's largest concrete soccer ball, the Jesse James feather duster of death, the Walt Disney dreaming tree and barn, the grave of Pete Kibbe's foot, the home of Throwed Rolls, the world's largest fork, the dental health theater, a giant turtle park, the world's largest chigger, cowboy muffler man, the world's largest ball of string, not twine, and the nuclear waste adventure trail and museum. If you think you've found a place that can pluck more tunes on your inner banjo, show me. Thanks. I'm a Midwesterner most of my life, and I've always had this kind of love-hate relationship with my native soil. You know, we have the reputation with the rest of the country for being kind of bleak. So I thought, well, that's a kind of obvious word to use in a poem about where I am. But, you know, poets are interested in the way words sound as well as the way words mean. And so I thought, could I think of a sound that is bleak and that I can use the word bleak with? And I thought and thought. And the only thing I could come up with, and I was satisfied with it, was bubbles coming up through a septic tank. You know, they bubble up and they go bleak like that. And so I thought, okay, all right, there's my key word. So this is called American Gothic. Maybe you've seen that Grant Wood picture, which also I was reminded of. When methane breaches in a septic tank, it says bleak. The word we like best. Make ours bleak. Easy on the salt and garnish. We want it gray on a gray dish. And let it sit for a while, like leftovers. And give us a bleak place to eat it. Wood frame, dim inside, even at high noon. Heavy drapes and wall-to-wall linoleum. The siding, we want grit gray with maybe a tinge of rust leaching through. Sky and ground, the color of erasures. We like it that way. What we don't like is interruptions, which is why we keep our guns where we can get our hands on them. And why we take black and white photos of strangers. We make no exceptions, even for you. Why should we? Even now, you're interrupting. Maybe people where you come from like that necktie you've got on. Read our lips. Bleak.
That's American Gothic by former Missouri Poet Laureate William Trowbridge. That poem was originally published in his 1993 book, O Paradise, and is now included in his new and selected poems, Put This On, Please, along with the unofficial Missouri poem heard first on New Letters on the Air. Next is a poem also included in that collection from his 1989 book, Inner Dark Stranger. By the way, there's some spicy language ahead, but we've bleaked the brash William Trowbridge.
When I was about 10 years old, I think any boy, like 9 or 10 or 12, begins to feel this awful sense of powerlessness, you know. Your parents boss you around, the teachers boss you around, the coaches boss you around, the girls boss you around. You need something that gives you a little sense of power. And for me, the thing that really hit the spot was explosives. And my particular brand was the cherry bomb. Maybe some of you remember the cherry bomb, which was that little, it looks like a cherry, you know, and it looks red and has a little green fuse coming like a little sprout. But it's equal, I was told, to 1/5 a stick of dynamite. And the cool thing about cherry bombs is that the fuse will keep going underwater. And the real vandalism trick with a cherry bomb was to go to the school and flush it down the toilet, you know, while it was lit, and blow up all the plumbing. We weren't really that destructive, but we did find that it worked really nicely if you weighted it down and lobbed it into the country club swimming pool. And this little depth charge effect that we found made us feel powerful. So this is called cherry bombs. The red, red seeds of anarchy and blitz. So quick, so blunt, so right to boys who dreamed of fuse and detonation. They came 1/5 stick of dynamite, veiled in oriental understatement. Light fuse and step back. Just a step and our ears howled for half an hour, our faces puckered numb. We learned to toss them quick on Susie's lawn, under love cards by the lake. waded into swimming pools where beauties bobbed up flushed, and muscle boys felt testicles retract like snail's horns. "You little pricks want to step out to the parking lot," they snarled. "Blam," we answered. "Blam, blam, blam." Power. When I was a little kid, I got followed home from school by a stray dog. And I didn't have a dog, I didn't have a pet. And I thought, well, this is my chance, you know. I get this dog in the house and I get mom to feed it something and it's happy and everybody likes it, I'll have a dog. It'll be my pal. I'll have a doggy. And it didn't work out. Hardly ever does, because stray dogs sometimes are stray for good reasons. So this is called obedience. The ghost of it whimpered back last night from a wet November 50 years ago. A scraggly cocker that shadowed me home from school, and when I let it in, ignored a meal to snuffle crotches and hump legs, as if to win us with what it knew of love. Its sad pink dick unsheathed like a gut protruding from a wound. Its rheumy eyes spinning with dread. Its odor of mushroom and shit making itself at home in our carpet. "No, bad dog, down," we said, shoving it away, till my father got it in the car, and we drove off through the dark to a cornfield outside town, where the rain blew, and it slumped off right away, going to get lost like a good dog. Still haunts me. I've got some father poems here. Always tempted to write a father poem. Although my father and I didn't get along that well, but, you know. One problem he had, which he never got over, was with tools. He couldn't really function with tools. Luckily, he had a white-collar job, so he didn't have to use them. But around the house, a man has to be good with tools, right? Or he's not manly, so, or at least he thought so. He would have to fight everything to try to fix stuff, and it never worked out. It was always a disaster. So this is called Mr. Fix-It. Oh, there's a reference to Laocoon. You know, he was a figure from Greek mythology who was cursed by the gods, and they rained down snakes, sort of anaconda-sized on him, and there's a famous sculpture where he's being, like, snakes are all there, they're all around him, and he's like this, and his sons are getting it too, and that's called Laocoon. So, and when I first saw that in art class in college, I thought, that's Dad. And why I thought that is explained, I think, by the poem. Mr. Fix-It. Cursed by the brogan gods who govern tools, my father turned Laocoon with power cords and garden hoses, blind pew with drills and hammers, screws talked back, nails went rubbery, saws turned piranha. He'd swear, fumble, curse his way through the gauntlet of directions, jamming a half-inch bolt in the hole for a quarter-inch dowel, joining tab A to extension N, skipping the ambiguous step 5A. "God damn it," he'd declare to the unresponsive skies. "Lousy son of a bitch," he'd save for our electric mower, whose cord he'd sever every other turn. A combat vet with two bronze stars, he soldiered on till the day he bought the canister of Grow Bright, advertised to turn your lawn lush as the greens at Pebble Beach. An IED in his uncertain grip. It worked by pumping air to force the liquid out the nozzle. He took the contents in the face, the metal lid grazing an ear. There was no talk at dinner. Only the AC chuckling under the window.
Mr. Fix-It, one of the new poems by Missouri Poet Laureate William Trowbridge from his 2013 book, Put This On, Please. Next on New Letters on the Air, you'll hear how he incorporates some of his literary loves into his own work.
How many of you read Gwendolyn Brooks' We Real Cool? It's like in most anthologies. It's one of my favorite poems, actually. It's very short. It's so great. I just had to steal from it. I thought, okay, I'm going to write a poem like that, but what'll I have to change something? You know, I'm going to make it enough like hers so people will know I'm just not trying to sneak the ripping her off. So I thought, I'll steal her, kind of her title and some of her rhymes so people will recognize I'm riffing off her poem. I'm not ripping off, but riffing off. So I thought, real cool, all right, that's what, so I'm not cool, I could be real nice, I could be real manly, no. And so the poem is called We Real Old. There's a subtitle, as you remember, on the Gwendolyn Brooke poems called The Pool Players at the Golden Shovel. And my epigraph is The Canasta Players, Seven at Autumn's Gold, my version of a retirement home. We Real Old. We Real Old. We bell-tolled. We dilate. We stagflate. We sing thin. We shake Schwinn. We doled. You stuff gold. Nothing like a pissed off old person poem, I think. I'm going to read you the title poem to my new book, Put This On, Please. If you're looking at that title and say, what the hell is that all? Put This On, Please. I bet you've heard this said to you in the doctor's office. When the nurse comes in, it's time for the test. And take the clothes off, put this on, please. And they're going to do something unpleasant to your body. Put this on, please. Cut from the dime store cotton, fastened from behind at the neck, designed for easy access to your nakedness. It's issued in exchange for your clothes and valuables when they've checked if you can pay. The trick to tying it, their little secret. It may sport stripes or flowers, the most are plain as winding sheets. If soiled, it can be cleaned or simply tossed. Your robe for the mute choir that haunts the halls, wheeling its tubes and IVs, or tosses in sleep, or just stares dully, draped in this chilly birthright. I'll finish up with a poem about an adventure I had with my youngest son. I took him a long time ago now to his first experience with the Pacific Ocean from Maryville, Missouri, where the swimming pool was a big body of water. And he was young enough, so he didn't really understand the significance of that. And so we rented something called a boogie board. Have you ever heard of that? It's kind of like half a surfboard, and you kind of paddle out on it. And I had, and still have, a skin condition that requires me to stay out of the sun. I have like actinic keratosis. Some of you probably have that, or it's sometimes called solar keratosis. It's like precancerous things, and you need to stay out of the sun or coat yourself with various fluids and cover yourself up. So I was doing that, and he got on the boogie board and took off for the Sea of Japan. And I'm on the beach trying to wave him down, you know, and it said he can't see me or hear me or anything else. And so I feel like this horrible clown dressed up in this costume for shielding myself. So this is called Living with Solar Keratosis. While I watch my son flail out beyond my call on the boogie board we rented, everything goes California. Big blue swells cresting white, beach blankets, beach games, beach sun, beach flies, and here I stand like a scarecrow blown in from some prairie, dressed for fall in hat and jacket, a red towel draped over my head, nose painted white, arms waving at the world's largest ocean. I'm everybody's parent, who's always there to haggle down delight. Slurp that Coke before you wipe its mouth off, and bang, it's herpes A. Swim right after snacking, and you sleep with the fish. Play too long in sunshine, and you're the poster child for dermatology week. That man on 4th Street, remember him? The one with half an ear, who pulls the little wagon? I'll count to three. The boys are spiking volleyballs. Girls in strings jiggle by. I need a drink in the darkness of that dive across the street. But my son needs me here. Everybody needs me here. Doer ant to chaperone the giddy hoppers. Memento mori on the tube of copper tone. A blinking light among the pleasure craft. Sometimes tittered at. Though underneath, a surprisingly fun guy. A Beach Boys fan. Thank you.
Thanks. Missouri Poet Laureate 2012 to 2016, William Trowbridge, reading works old and new, all included in his book, Put This On, Please. He was recorded at Rockhurst University's 2014 Midwest Poet Series in Kansas City. Since then, he's released his 2016 graphic chapbook, Old Guy Superhero, and the 2017 full-length collection, Vanishing Point, both from Red Hen Press. You could also find three of his new poems in the recent New Letters magazine, Volume 83, Numbers 2 and 3. For links to that double issue, William Trowbridge's books, and a 2011 interview with him that features his Kong and Fool poems, visit our website, newletters.org. While you're there, sign up for our free weekly podcast under Ways to Listen, or find us on iTunes. You can follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter at New Letters Radio. A production of New Letters Magazine at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Partial financial support comes from the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Today's show was produced with Jamie Walsh, Zach Fulkin, and Stephanie Hughes. Also thanks to Cynthia Cartwright, director of the Center for Arts and Letters at Rockhurst University, who works with Robert Stewart on the Midwest Poet Series, and to you for listening to New Letters on the Air. I'm Angela Elam.